The Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, September the 6th, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I haven't seen you for ages.
Well, I've been hobnobbing.
Have you?
Yes.
You've been knob-hobbing.
Well, isn't that rude?
I don't know.
Did you say knob-hogging?
No, I said hobnobbing.
No, I said hobnobbing.
Oh, did you?
You said something. I sound a bit muffled. Am I all right?
I don't know. We're talking to the microphone. That helps.
I am, darling. Look,
no, you're not. You're in the wrong end.
I'm kissing the mic.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been in the wrong end, I can assure you.
Oh, don't. See, she lowers the tone of this show immediately.
I have actually been Mongolian camel racing.
Have you indeed?
Yes.
And who was your jockey?
Well, it was quite sad, actually. It was a very furry young camel.
I see. There was a camel involved.
Yeah. And not one hump.
But two.
But two humps.
Ah.
You've done your research.
Ah.
You know about Mongolian camels.
No. Well, it wouldn't be a camel if it didn't have two humps. Because a camel with one hump is a dromedary.
It is. Well, yes, you're an ever-mining fund of information. If it had three humps, of course, it would be...
weird.
Humphrey.
Oh, dear.
But, as I was saying, was at Chilham Castle, beautiful. Mm. Now, for Nurse Liz, if she's listening, in America, Chilham Castle is in the heart of the Kentish countryside. Beautiful castle with a moat.
Mm.
And it was quite strange because one of the jockeys did fall off, so I stopped filming at the time.
Chilham is a Jacobean castle.
Oh, you know about this?
I do. So it's not as old as some of our castles, but it is a very lovely place, and it's owned by the lovely Stuart Wheeler. Stuart and
Tessa.
It's a gorgeous place, and they quite often have jousting competitions there still.
Have you done a joust?
I've never jousted. No, I can't ride a horse, can I?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know you that well. I mean, I can.
Well, you see my legs. Does it look like I've ridden a horse?
I can ride a horse. But I would have thought you could. You hot air balloon.
I've done loads of things. I have ridden a horse before. But...
and, of course, you know, listener, he's very, very good at Zumba, as we all know. So jousting, Zumba.
She's so funny.
Yeah. I have the pictures to prove it.
I know, and she regularly tweets them.
Going on to Mongolian
food. Yeah, you did go on.
Mongolian food.
Yeah.
Quite fried.
Mm.
But then
garlicky.
If it's like minus 40, as it can be in the, is it the Gobi Desert?
It is, yeah.
It is. You would need a fried thing, wouldn't you? So it was fried porky, I think. It could have been beef, wasn't sure. Quite light coloured.
Mostly
meat.
Pork.
And then you had the old coleslaw and potato salad, which is the influence, I would think, from Russia.
Yeah, it could be.
Work with me on this.
Or even Korea.
Do they have coleslaw parties?
Yeah. Coleslaw parties in Korea?
Well, you know, it's very English.
No, but they're heavily into kimchi and stuff like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the Mongolian food I've had, at least my office in Maidstone, we had a Mongolian restaurant opposite. It was all you could eat Mongolian buffet, it was.
Blimey.
But it was basically mouthfuls of garlic.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's why all your staff left you there. Obviously.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
But it was very garlicky.
Mass
very
exodus.
Garlicky. Was yours garlicky?
No. That's why I'm sounding horrified. It was quite tame, really.
Oh, okay.
There was a chili sauce, and I am an aficionado. I love chili sauce, but it was... I don't like it when it's too... I like to taste the chili without just the hot.
Okay.
I like the actual chili taste rather than...
I was doing
just
foodie things yesterday.
Yeah, well, tell us about this box here.
I've got a box up there, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me what's in it.
I don't know. It's not been opened.
Are we going to unbox it?
We're going to unbox it.
Should we ask Bird?
We're going to ask Bird to Facebook Live it as we unbox it.
Pass me the box.
Well, let me set this up first before you get your hands on it.
Well, we can't wait for cake.
You don't know. It might not be cake. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what's in it.
It could be something awful in there, like
It could be a surprise. It could be a clown that goes, pudding, you know, like a jack-in-the-box. I don't know. I was at the Speciality and Fine Food Show at Fine Food Fair, actually, at Olympia yesterday in Hammersmith. And I wandered onto a stand owned by a man called Fresh Eric. And Fresh Eric gave me that.
That was brave with Fresh Eric.
Yeah, we're gonna unbox that. Fresh Eric has a cake factory in Orpington, in Kent. And he gave me that box. And I'd like you to unbox it, to be honest.
Chuck it over.
Well, I'm not going to chuck it because I know what's in there. So, if you and Stephanie would like to,
there could be, you know, anything, as you say, it could be a caterpillar, vermin.
It could, unlikely.
Little mouse.
It could be a mouse.
Remember,
it could be.
You remember Fawlty Towers, Stephanie, when the the what was it? Siberian hamster popped out.
It's a rat, Mr. Fawlty.
So here we have. Look, beautiful box. The heart of sweet baking. We're onto something here, Stephanie. It's sweet. We hope you enjoy this sample pack. It's giving me a clue, but is it an old label?
Well, you don't know. I mean, who knows what's in it?
Is it a second-hand box?
It could be.
So what we should have in here is chocolate fudge cake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's working for me.
Yeah.
Carrot and orange cake, your five a day. red velvet cake, which is actually my one weakness. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Chocolate fudge brownie.
Mm. All right.
Would that be what your one weakness, probably, Paul Andrews?
Quite possibly.
Now, let me tell you where they are. They're in Unit 6, Oast House Way, in Orpington, which I think is near...
Bromley.
Is that near where I take my mum to Bexley Heath
Salt Cave? It is indeed, yeah. It's not far.
So I could pop in. Yeah. Pop in and see you. B for Bertie, R for Roger, S for Sugar, 3, P for Peter, T for Tiger. There is a phone number. Shall I ring him?
That's Jules's own phonetic alphabet, that is. Yeah.
So
P for pterodactyl.
The number to order these cakes, if you want to talk
you
to...
You don't know what's in it yet.
Or mice.
Yeah.
Let's check the sell-by date first. 9th of September, we're all right.
Yep. Yeah.
Good. Is 01689871129. That's who to complain to if there are no cakes in this box.
Or you could just follow them on the Twitter. And while Jules is undoing the box, I'll tell you their Twitter handle. Their Twitter handle is at Fresh Eric's with an S Cakes. Fresh Eric's Cakes is their Twitter handle. Do give them a follow on the Twitter. And the box is open. And the cake's on...
Very well packed.
Now, we are talking... Oh, look. We are talking proper, beautifully sliced.
Oh, they look great.
Oh, wow.
They look really good.
Should we just cancel the show? Come back at 3.
Somebody just carry on talking.
Look at the velvet.
So what I need you guys to do now is open up one of those packets each and have a little taste of the cake.
I think we should have got plates.
Well, we didn't know what was in the box, did we? No. And pronounce on... Oh, that's a funny colour.
This is the red velvet.
That's a red velvet cake. Listen, for those of you that can't see it on Facebook Live, it's actually bright red, isn't it? It's a crimson coloured cake.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Look at the presentation. If you're looking, I don't know if Birdie can get that on her phone.
Yeah, we got it.
Beautifully done there. And when we open these, Stephanie, we're going to sniff them first.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So I've got the orange and, what was it, orange and?
Carrot.
Carrot, yeah.
Your five a day.
Mm,
tell your mum.
Oh, that's got nuts in it, I'm sure. Hazelnuts or something. It's really, really lovely.
There are some little allergens I should read. Are you okay with anything? Nuts?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. Fire away then, have a bite.
Okay, so I'm going to just take a little bit of this.
See, she's being very ladylike.
Very moist,
She's being very ladylike, Paul Andrews.
At the moment.
That looks very moist.
It is very moist.
That's
You're
moist.
Not allowed to say that.
Oh, you can't say moist on the radio.
You're off.
That's delicious. That is
Are you liking that?
I'm not doing it with my fingers.
Because you ate the rest of the slice.
That is a really lovely carrot cake.
So you're liking it. No,
that
I'm okay.
That is gorgeous.
Are you going to try something else?
That is boring.
You can try one other thing, and then obviously you can eat it all yourselves while we're on the show, but we need to crack on, so have a try of one more slice.
Can we try another bit in a minute?
Yeah, you can do.
Let's try another bit in a minute, because I actually am savouring.
So lovely.
And you know what's lovely? The carrot is actually a little crunch going on.
All right.
Fresh, it's beautiful fresh carrot. You're getting the icing also, I think Stephanie might agree, not too sweet.
No, exactly.
Because women of a certain age...
Don't like loads of frosting.
Don't want it too sweet.
No.
I might just have one more bite.
Cool.
It is really good.
And who's our sponsor?
Today's show sponsor is B2B Southeast. And B2B Southeast have a business-to-business exhibition that is happening on the 30th of September at the Effingham Park Hotel at Copthorne. And... it's free to attend. There's over 100 exhibitors. There's networking and there's 3 free seminars. So do go along. Just turn up on the day. You don't have to pre-book, but you can see who's there. Why are you waving at me? Your hand's sticky.
You're not going to let me touch any controls now.
Your hands are sticky, aren't they? Well, you'll have to...
Luckily, I brought a little napkin with me.
Good. So, a big thank you to today's show sponsor, B2B Southeast. And I have an announcement to make for the Business Bunker as well. We've acquired a new partner, and we're really proud to be working with Phoenix Interim Recruitment. And you can find out about them by following their website, phoenixinterimrecruitment.com. So do have a look at that. Do follow them on the Twitter, Phoenix Interim, and we're really proud to partner with them for the next 12 months. So a huge thank you to Carl and the team at Phoenix, and there we go.
Well
nice
done.
One.
Thank you, Phoenix, as well. Now, rising from the ashes, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on our new number, 01233 220035, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag BeBunker. We have had 9 million tweets. We are almost ready.
That's because everybody's
soon.
On holiday. Hardly any tweets, 9 million, really.
Yeah.
But going by your normal.
Yeah, yeah. We normally get
a
trillion
on,
or so, don't we? But we are going to speak to our first guest fairly soon on the phone, but I'm going to do a couple of tweets before that.
Yeah.
And first out of the box is the lovely Gemma Fairhay, on the Twitter. And she says, Vanilla Web, please can you tell the Business Bunker listeners about Employment Law Info event on the 4th of October at St. George's Hotel, Chatham. That's 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. You can find out all about it and get over there and find out about, taking part in an employment law seminar delivered by the lovely Gemma by following Gemma on the Twitter at Gemma with a J, Gemma Fairhay, F-A-I-R-H-A-Y. And Gemma is from Orchard Employment Law. So do give her a follow and do find out about her fantastic seminar event.
And Gemma actually came to the Slope Off Friday event last Friday at the stunning Crescent Turner in Whitstable, and she won my award for the best dressed lady.
Did she?
Yeah.
She is classy. She's very classy.
Had a beautiful bright blue dress on. She looked absolutely stunning.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Finishing Touches, Event Planner UK on the Twitter has tweeted, I think that's Ellie actually, I think. She says, hi Paul, please could you give a big shout out for Titro's Bar, which is opening imminently in Canterbury. Let me spell that for you. Titro's Bar is T-E-A-T-R-O-S Bar, B-A-R. Titro's Bar, opening shortly in Canterbury. So do look out for that.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Lot of bars and pubs and restaurants in Canterbury. So it's got to be good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's go and try it out. A&T
Reprographics. Could we have a shout out for A&T Reprographics, please? We specialise in all sorts of printing, including banners, posters, etc. And we're based in Kent. You've just been shouted out. You can follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is A&T Reprographics. Do give them a follow. Fruitworks. They're speaking to you.
Are they?
Yeah. They say, hello,
it's
Jules.
About cake.
Yeah, no. Hello, Jules. Hello, Paul. Business Bunker shout out, please, for Create sponsors. Oh, they're sponsors of the next Create, Aviso Media. That's AWVISO_media. Sprout Red, SPF School. That's the smart media, the smartphone film school. SPF School and Supply My Biz. So, thank you for sponsoring the next Create, which is taking place on the 29th of September.
Yeah, sounds like a good one.
Yeah, free beer and pizza.
Exactly.
What's not to like?
Exactly.
7 p.m., 29th of September, 1 and 2 Old Jury at Fruitworks.
And I've heard that there's been a lot going on there, a lot of decoration and revamping and underneath. And
the
up,
fabulous up. Jamie has been refurbishing away.
Yeah.
He's finished the upper floors,
yeah.
And people have moved in, and he's now started work on downstairs, which is brilliant.
I did forget, actually.
You forgot your mic.
No, I did. I'm rummaging in my handbag.
Oh.
I did forget, of course, to say happy birthday, because I haven't seen you since you were...
Oh, to me?
Since you were even older this year.
Thank you.
And I did bring you a little something.
Oh, thank you. What's that? Oh,
mind your controls.
sour mango.
Yeah, fat-free.
Are you trying to tell me something?
No. It's you bought me some for my birthday.
That's what I bought you. You've given it back to me. I bought her those for her birthday. She's given them back to
well,
me.
Well, I drank the Prosecco.
I bought her a bottle of Prosecco and something to balance it. Yeah, she drank the Prosecco and gave me the mangoes back.
I'm not sure I'm the sour mango type.
Anyway, we're going to play some tunage. And while we're playing that tunage, I'm going to get our first guest on the phone. And our first guest is Mr. Richard Hawkes, who is the who's an architect, and he designed and built his own home, which is called Crossways near Staplehurst. And he was on Grand Designs with Kevin MacLeod
really
in 2009. Kevin MacLeod states that this is the best house that was ever built on Grand Designs.
Amazing.
So we're going to talk to Richard. So while we're doing that, I thought I'd play some cheesy tunage.
Is it going to be our house?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. How cheesy is that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I know you so well.
Yeah.
Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Ah, welcome back. Sorry about that at the beginning. We left the microphones on. Good job we didn't talk about anybody.
No, but what were they listening to?
Me? They were listening to you throwing mangoes at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not only that, Stephanie and I eating lovely Eric's cakes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're joined on the phone now by Richard Hawkes. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Hello, Richard. You there?
He's probably building a house, Paul.
Hello, Richard. You there?
Speak to us.
Oh, we don't seem to have him.
Shall I read something while you find him?
Yes, please.
Okay, so there's a big breakfast coming up with Damien Green, the MP, and it's in the morning at 7.30 to 9, and they ask you to join the networking special, and it's at Eastwell Manor in Kent. It's Friday the 23rd of September, and it is organised by, I believe, by Moosley Mafia. I'm not quite sure. No, I don't think it is. I think it's organised by someone else. So it's Friday 23rd of September. It's at Eastwell Manor, 7.30 to 9. And it's with the a full English with Damien Green, the MP. You can ask him any questions, they say, as well. And then the Moosley Mafia, 7.30 to 9.30. And they are £20 for non-members and members plus VAT. You can join them for their popular and very well-attended breakfast. It's welcoming all types of Kent businesses. The next one is Thursday the 18th of August at the Royal Wells Hotel, Tunbridge Wells.
Hello, Richard, you there?
Yes.
Okay.
She's there.
Oh, he's there. Hello, we lost Richard. You for a moment. I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that.
I had to gabble on, Richard. About nothing.
I was still here.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We were telling the listeners while we couldn't find you about the, your background and about Crossways. Yeah. Just if you would, Richard, tell us a little bit about you. You're an architect. You designed Crossways, which I believe is your own home, yeah?
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it seems like a long time ago now, but yeah, 7 years ago we finished it. And yeah, my wife and I, we lived in Staplehurst and found a plot of land, as you do, and then got on with the designing the dream house and did the whole grand design thing and had a lot of fun doing that and had a family at the same time, you know. That
well, you packed it all in, didn't you?
tell us about how you deal with building a house, designing a house and having a family.
It was one of those things. It's a bit of a dream, you know, for every architect to sort of, you know, design their own house. But so I kind of wanted to make sure I had a lot of fun doing it and challenge myself. And it was one of those sort of rare opportunities where you can do what you want. My wife was very accommodating in that whole journey. But we're sort of that, you know, we were of that same age where you're sort of wanting to build a nest and then fill it.
Right.
So we're part of that demographic, I suppose. But it was fantastic. I mean, we had a great builder. We had a great time. We did lots of challenging things, and it was nice to have Kevin involved and recording it. And, it was a wonderful, wonderful journey. Living in a caravan, all that.
I do believe. I'm not sure if it's true. I do believe that Kevin McLeod claims that it's his favourite house from Grand Designs.
I don't know. Well, it's certainly one of his favourites. But I think his pet favourite, myself, is the Ben Laws one, the Woodsman's Cottage.
Oh yes,
the
guy, yeah.
Yeah, when he built the thing out of logs he found in the woods. I think that's his ultimate favourite. But he's very fond of us. Put it that way.
Absolutely.
Tell us how much Richard help you get with. Did you get any help with budget as you were being filmed off the record?
Well, they don't pay you very much for being involved with the show, but there are opportunities. You know, you can obviously talk to some of your suppliers, and some of the suppliers are very interested in the idea of potentially being on TV, so they're happy to give you things either for free or at a discount. And sometimes people aren't interested at all. It does vary. So I know that some people have been on the show, have done very, very well out of that whole process. But, you know, we did quite. We had some great. Rocker supplied all our sanitary wear, for example, which was very, very kind of them.
That sounds good.
We got Lafarge to supply various things to us. So some companies are very helpful to us, but that wasn't a driving motive to start with.
And what's your wife's name?
Sophie.
So did you and Sophie have any sort of domestics over the kitchen area?
This is so typical of Jules's interest in this.
I know. When I was sort of, you know, in the early stages of designing it, what would you want, you know, this sort of thing. And she said, well, I want the kitchen to be in the middle of the house, open plan, but in its own room. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Open plan in its own room.
In the middle of the house, open plan, but in its own room.
Well, this sounds a bit like the magic faraway tree.
Well, exactly. It's kind of, so that was a healthy discussion, shall we say. as it happens, in the end, if you go in the house, you kind of think, actually, yeah, it is that. It is in its own room, but it feels open, and you can see it, you know, when you're right in the middle of the house. So it sort of does do that, but I couldn't help but think when she actually said that, I was like, oh, come on.
But you rose to the occasion.
You rose to the occasion, Richard.
Yeah, yeah, but in fairness to her, she was actually very accommodating, because there was one morning, I mean, when the house didn't always, some people think that maybe I designed this house, I had it in my back pocket for years and then found a site for it, but as any good designer will know, will tell you that that's not the way you design a building. You need a proper site so the building can respond to the site. But anyway, I had the plan developed, and I started doing these little models, and then I did this I got up literally at 5 o'clock one Sunday morning, and I had this idea of this arch, and I came upstairs with a little model. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, came up about 9 o'clock with a cup of tea to Sophie sitting in bed, and I had this little model, and she just went, yeah. and when I explained it, it seemed to make a lot of sense. And that was it, to be honest. I was hooked on it then. It just seemed like the absolute right thing to do on that site. I had no idea how to build it at that point, but
right, okay.
that was a whole other thing. But I thought there was plenty of ways to build an arch.
Cool, Richard. I had a look at your website, and you've got a fantastic array of eco buildings, for want of a better term. I think I was kind of thrown because this isn't my field at all, and I was interested by your profile on Twitter that says that you specialise in NPPF paragraph 50 homes.
Yeah,
and I've no idea what that means. Exactly. It might be Klingon for all I know.
Most of the population will probably have no idea what that means. But basically, you're not normally allowed to build a house in the open countryside, or in the Greenbelt, or in the AOMB, or in a triple SI or a scheduled ancient monument or a national park, somewhere like that.
Sure.
But there's a special paragraph in national planning policy that basically says if a house is of exceptional quality, innovative in nature, the highest standards in architecture, and sensitive to the defining characteristics of the local area and enhancing the setting, etc., there's a few sort of tests in this piece of policy, then planning consent can be granted if you are able to meet all of those tests. And so my house needed that policy
Get
consent. Although there was a little bungalow there, because we wanted to do something much bigger,
sure,
the only policy way we could get consent was under the previous version of that policy. So we've become specialists in that, basically.
And I do believe you've never been turned down.
Correct. Yeah. I know.
Blimey, that's some feat. I got turned down wanting to build an extension on my place.
there's a way of going about doing this, and as our clients will testify, it's a journey you have to go on. You have to be committed to it, and it's not a case of just drawing up some plans and having a punt, as people sometimes say. We're much more rigorous and thorough about how we take these things on, but it's not that we're kind of just wanting to make sure that we never fail. It's just a case of making sure that if someone's investing all that money in a planning application, that their money's being well invested.
Mm. Sure, absolutely.
So it's about having a very rigorous and thorough approach, and I'm proud to say that our record is sort of a bit of a testament to how seriously we take it.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's not surprising. Anybody that checks out your website, and we'll give the listeners your website address in a minute, will see the range of buildings that you've been involved in, and there are some absolutely gorgeous, fantastic, fabulous buildings.
We're obviously very proud of the portfolio as well, and it's nice to see it growing over time. Obviously, when I started, all I had was my house to kind of show people, not necessarily. People might come along, and if they're looking to employ an architect, they might say, yeah, your house is lovely, but I wouldn't necessarily think it's right for my for my site. But now we've got a kind of, really diverse. Every site is different and every client is different. So quite rightly, every building ends up being very different. So there's no house style. But we have a very, we engage clients. We give clients homework. We have to want to know what time they wake up in the morning, whether they like the idea of the sun shining in through the window when they wake up in the morning. There's all sorts of questions we like to ask to be able to design a house that's specific for an individual.
Absolutely.
But it's not necessarily information you would think to ask.
And Richard, how keen are you to... Are you only interested in doing new builds or knocking down old sort of bungalows and restarting? Or can you work... with a sort of, I've got a 1980s seafront that I really want to...
She's boasting now.
Pull down my frontage. I want to pull it down and start again, but that's obviously out of my budget.
That's called overcladding.
Yeah. A guy has suggested overcladding, but is that your...
No, we do all manner of things, but we tend to ask a series of questions, and actually sometimes clients come along. Like we did a house on West Wittering beachfront.
I love West Wittering.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's a house that looks like three beach huts sitting on a seawall.
Oh, wow.
Along West Wittering. And that client actually came along to us wanting a passive house. So one of these houses
that
very, very low bills and whatever. That was their...
Yeah.
That was what they came along. That's why they found us. But then when we sort of said to them, well, how much, what's your budget? How much space do you need? What's the most important thing in this? Is it the budget? Is it the amount of space? Or is it that it's passive or got the low bills? And as it happened, it turned out that the passive side of it was the least important. The most important thing was that they had the amount of space that they needed because they wanted to rent it. And that their budget couldn't go above a certain figure.
Yeah.
And one of them times the other one didn't equal passive. They didn't have the kind of budget to kind of go that far. So basically, we helped tailor their requirements to deliver a building that was architecturally, in this case, architecturally simple in its narrative, but to be able to push the technical envelope of it as far as we could. So it's basically a little step of logic at the beginning, establishing budget, size and complexity enables us to make sure that whatever we're designing is actually feasible to build in the end.
Well, that sounds a much better way around, because I've got sort of a rough drawing, but, you know, I have no idea how, you know, you go on forever saying we could raise this and we could move that, but I've got no idea what the budget is going
to
be.
It's usually quite a good idea to start with what would you ideally want. So if you start from a position of, well, let's just pretend that money's no object and we don't... Basically, anything's possible.
Mm.
Any piece of... Any column could be taken out. Any wall could be taken out. It's just going to have potentially different cost parameters if you wanted to do it. So start with what is the best this could be, and then say, well, okay, if that's the best it could be, how much would that cost? Well, if that's outside your budget, then you sort of say, okay, what could my budget be?
I just asked Paul Andrews for a sub.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so that will be building her a dog kennel then, Richard.
It's interesting. I mean, if what the best it could be could actually be recovered in the value of the property at the end, you might say, actually, I could raise that money in a new mortgage.
Sure,
Something like that. But if you sort of say, no, I'm that's double what I could spend, then at least you're coming from, this is the best it could be. What things do you then take out? So you're working from a point of view of trying to maintain as much good, or whatever you're investing in the property, you're heading towards it being better than necessarily doing something that might actually have been counterproductive if you then later wanted to do something else, if you see what I mean.
Cool. Richard, we could talk about this forever because it's a fascinating subject. And at some point in the future, I'd like to get you actually into the studio and do a whole kind of program on
this. Let's go down to West Wittering.
Or we could go on site. But we'd love to talk to you some more. And I know that people can hear more about your story and about your fabulous work with architecture, because you're one of the main speakers at the up-and-coming Southeast Construction Expo on the 6th of October. So... if you do want to hear more from Richard, do get along to the Southeast Expo, Construction Expo, and listen to Richard. But for the moment, Richard, give us a quick shout-out for your website so that people can look at some of these fabulous buildings.
Yeah, it'd be great. Thank you very much. We're at hawksarchitecture.co.uk.
And that's Hawks with an E.
H-A-W-K-E-S.
Yep. Fantastic. Richard, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Pleasure.
Been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to hearing from you at the Southeast Construction Expo on the 6th of October, and we'll see you soon.
Smashing. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Now. Bye-bye.
Bye. Amazing.
Yeah, fabulous.
Very interesting.
Really interesting. I want to get Richard back on and talk to him in more depth about that, because there's some really interesting stuff there.
Well, I want to get him round to my house.
It's always about me with
I've only
yours.
Got a nice drive now, which Dan Juby's done.
I know. I've got to be careful here, because I want Dan to do my drive as well, so I can't really take the mickey out of you too much, can I?
Well, I thought he could also pop over to Little Silver Hotel as well put some leaflets in. They must have a patio or a decking.
It's gravel.
It can't all be
can
gravel.
Can you clean gravel,
what,
Dan?
So their guests sit out on gravel, do they?
Yes, gravel drive.
But no, not just drives, though. Patios.
I don't know. I've never been round the back.
Do you never go round the back passage?
I've never been round.
Really, you should.
You should. Zero.
I bet they've got a little bit of decking to have a coffee on. They must have.
I don't know. I've never been round there.
Well, let's go.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Kent Savers, who say, Vanilla Web, can we have a shout-out, please, for kentsavers.co.uk? We're keeping Kent people away from extortionate payday lenders. Yeah. I think Kent Savers, is that actually, it, I know they're a not-for-profit, and I think it might be something to do with Kent County Council as well, I think. Do you know, Seth?
No, I think if it's the one I'm thinking of, they've come out of the big local programme in Newington. I think that's the one.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
no, you're right. And things like that. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Steph. Yeah, so Kent Savers on the Twitter.
They're like a credit union.
They are in fact a credit union. You're absolutely right for a change, Jules. She's right. She's right.
And when
that's
I
amazing,
say like,
isn't it?
It's not like the teenage would say like.
Yeah.
As in.
David Shaw has tweeted and said, can you give this event a shout out, please? It's the Thanet Better Business event, and you can find out all about it by going to their website, which is thanetbetterbusiness.co.uk. That's not easy to say.
Well, not with Thanet your teeth.
Better Business. I've got your teeth today. thanetbetterbusiness.co.uk. Was that your phone going off?
It's not mine. No, I know protocol when I come in. There's Professor Richard Skays, who's the Emeritus Professor at the University of Kent, and he's going to be speaking at the East Kent B2B, Grabbing the Future, its global and local business opportunities in 2017 and beyond. Now, this is on the 1st of November. You can find details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Put a little forward slash there with a B2B hyphen East hyphen Kent. But Professor Richard Skays on talking global and local business opportunities. May I take that for my new husband?
Yes.
Frontier Funds, because that will be ideal for him.
Cool. It's the B2B Yes Kent at Leascliffe Hall in Folkestone.
And it's 1st of November.
It is indeed.
Yeah, it's going in my bag.
And it's free to go. I've had this email. We're trying to get interest in a local free event we're running on tendering soon. Could we get a shout out, please? Mystified about tendering for contracts, then you need to go along to a free event for Kent businesses on Monday the 26th of September. It's being run by the British Assessment Bureau and consultancy Smart Support. They are sharing tips on how to improve your success rate when bidding. If you Google British Assessment Bureau, you'll find out more details on the homepage. And that's from Rob at the British Assessment Bureau.
That sounds good.
And I believe, if I remember rightly, their Twitter handle is BAB Official, B-A-B Official, I think. But that's off the top of my head.
You are like an elephant, though, with your brain. Mm.
Well,
you
big,
do remember
big,
most
thick
things.
And grey.
No, you sort of have a memory like an elephant. Considering your age, I think you're doing pretty well.
Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go.
Following on from that, are you a dementia-friendly retailer? We mustn't laugh, but you know, just remind me.
It's all laugh at Paul Day. Yeah, I know.
Alzheimer's Society has launched a new guide for retailers on how to become dementia friendly. There are 850,000 people that live with dementia in the UK. I'm sure there's a lot more than that that probably are not diagnosed as well.
I'm sure.
Looking and working with some. Research carried out by the charity shows that 8 out of 10 of those living with the condition consider shopping their favourite activity. But 1 in 4 has given up shopping since being diagnosed because of difficulties with finding their way around stores, picking up the wrong items, problems at the checkout and worries about staff and other shoppers' reactions. Find out how to become a more dementia-friendly retailer by going again onto kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put a forward slash with M for Mother, D-A-A. I would say, actually, even without dementia, go somewhere like Bluewater. Blimey, I mean, it just drains me. I hate going to those big places. The atmosphere. Then you've got to remember where you park your car, which floor.
It's your age, dear.
It's not my age. It's just, I don't know. I prefer to go in little greengrocers and things. And
absolutely.
Butchers.
Hi, Paul. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out today, please, for Athel Bray Training, now offering 3-hour workshops for managers and HR professionals in handling mental health issues in staff. Our occupational therapist trainer provide practical help on confidentially supporting staff who are displaying mental health deterioration. Anyone interested in this for their managers can call Kate on 01892 832 059. That's Kate on 01892 832 059, or you can tweet Athel Bray Limited, and I'll spell that for you for details. And their Twitter handle is athelbrae ltd, Athel Bray ltd, all one word, on the Twitter. What are you laughing
I've
at?
I've slipped all these into your readings today. So you're
all like the difficult words
all over the mic.
All the difficult words I've got.
Athel sounds like something out of an old western, doesn't it? Athel, you let the chickens out.
App Design Solutions, who are part of Complete Website Services, are offering an online platform to build your own phone app, and it requires no coding skills at all. Okay? And then you can have your app published on all the platforms for as little as £10 a month. If you want to find out more about it, yeah, it's really good, isn't it? If you want to find out more about it, you go to their website, which is www.appdesign.solutions. Yeah, it's another one that wanted them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. I've got a Channel Radio one.
All right.
Yeah, I've got a Channel Radio radio app by App,
let's hear
App Design
it.
Solutions.
Yeah.
Exactly. So do check that out. It's a very, very, very good platform and very low-cost packages. Really good.
Sounds good. £10 a month.
Yeah. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to our next guest.
Who is it?
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome a gentleman onto the show, Mr. Dan Juby of Spinnerjet.
The only gentleman in the room.
Absolutely, quite
perhaps,
quite right.
Some might say.
And we first came across Dan when our entire Twitter output was infested by Jules with pictures of a semi-naked Dan in a high-vis vest washing down her driveway. Yeah. So, Dan, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to meet you, mate. And you're looking remarkably well, considering you've been doing jobs for Jules.
I know. She does take it out of you.
She does indeed. And he's actually got a bit of colour to him as well, which is normally unusual from the people that she's got locked in her wardrobe.
Do you know, I take
Do you know, Billy Dean's been in her wardrobe for 4 years now.
Yeah, I did dodge a wardrobe.
Yeah.
I do take umbrage, Dan, because I seem to remember making you a hand grinding for hours, a Perk and Pearl coffee. Not
you
just
did.
Any coffee.
You did. It was very good. I mean, it was a very hot day as well, so you kept me going, and she was very good.
Kept him going,
kept
I did.
Kept me going very well.
Yeah.
Cool.
He actually got heat stroke, bless him.
I'm not surprised.
He did actually get heat stroke.
I'd have claimed illness as well if I was around your place for that length of time. Anyway, enough of that. Dan, you're a fairly early stage startup business, I understand. You've not been going long?
Not been going long since last October.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, we're just getting into it.
Coming up to your first birthday.
First birthday as well. So, yes, it's interesting. We're sort of, you know, feelers are going out, getting the sense of business.
So what inspired you to get into this business in the first place? Was it something you're already familiar with?
No, not at all. Well, I was a builder. And obviously on my travels, I saw lots of people doing jet washing. And the reason that they weren't very good at it, the machines weren't they're inadequate machines.
Yeah.
They would leave the client with a bad finish.
Yep.
Made a load of mess everywhere. And people were paying for this service, and I didn't think it was fair.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of it's being robbed in a way, but people were still doing it. So there was a market for it. So I just went, you know, looked onto Google, and I found machines that were capable of cleaning very fast, very efficiently, very cleanly, keeping all the mess down on the ground. So I invested in these machines.
Are they expensive?
They can be quite expensive. I mean, you can start. I mean, you want a high powered machine, a 4,000 psi, so you've got a good bit of power behind you.
Yeah.
Hang on, 4,000 psi.
PSI. Yeah. Yes.
Something.
That's people stopping. No, it's pounds per square inch.
Okay.
Yeah. So you invest in that, and then you get the head, the attachment that goes with it, the actual spinner jet, which is. It's a couple of jets that go around very fast.
Is it like a circular motion?
Circular motion, rotary. It goes around and it cleans very fast, like I said, a very thorough clean. So, you know, because it is so quick, you don't charge so much. You don't need to be at a salon. You know, you can keep it all tidy. You can keep the mess away from the cars, from the buildings. And, you know, it's been a hard first year. But, you know, we're breaking into it. People are very interested. When they see you do it, everyone's asking questions, you know, show me the machines, what's it capable of? Because no one's, you know, it has been around, but not many people want to invest the time and the money to buy these machines to do a quality job.
And I guess one of the problems for someone like you that's starting a business like this is you've got the legacy of the failed businesses that went before you. So,
absolutely.
You know, so a lot of people have gone, I had my drive clean once before. It wasn't worth it. I could have done it, but it would have toothbrush and a hose.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would get the thing about the Kartra. You know, I talk to people and I say, you know, here's my
flyer. I went out and bought one.
I know.
It's hopeless.
The thing, you know, or they get their own jet washing thing and they say, well, I've got my own, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, when you actually look at it, if you've got sort of a one-car drive, two-car drive, something like that, you go buy your Karcher, you know, you're talking a couple of hundred quid.
Yeah.
Then you've got to spend a couple of days trying to clean the thing. Yeah. You get yourself caked in mess.
Yeah. You have to spray the weeds.
You have to spray the weeds. You know, you have to... the time you've got all that, just get me in. I'll charge it a little bit more, and we can clean it properly. There'd be no shrapnel stones flying against your cars or your vehicles.
Yeah.
You get a very, you get a much more efficient clean, a deeper clean, and it lasts longer. So, you know, it's that's how we do it, really.
Absolutely. So, what are the kind of surfaces you can clean? You don't do grass, presumably.
You don't do grass or gravel. No, no, you can do decking's a major thing this time of year. You know, you're starting to get into the sort of winter time slippery.
You start to get slimy.
Decking doesn't last long, but you can do block paving, concrete, tarmac as well is another thing. You know, if you've got your moss growing onto it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So, and once you've cleaned these things, the block paving also, you can resand it, kiln. And you can actually reseal it, so it stops the weeds coming up as well. So.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do you do that? He's resealed mine.
Yeah, you reseal it. Because when somebody actually puts a block paving down, underneath you have a membrane.
Yeah.
There's a plastic. So nothing's coming up.
Yeah.
What happens is seeds and things land on top.
Yeah.
You get a bit of sun, bit of rain, your grass comes up, and there's your patio, your blocking is destroyed. So, you know, once you put the sealer onto it, what it does, it makes the sand go hard. So then nothing can actually penetrate that. I mean, you know, it will last you a good year, 2 years.
Yeah, sure.
Which, you know, you've invested money, thousands of pounds to put your drive down.
Yeah.
You might as well look after it and a couple of hundred quid or whatever it may be, get it cleaned by us. I mean,
and you need to look after your frontage.
You need to look after your frontage.
Your frontage can get out of control quite quickly, Jules.
Curb appeal.
Yeah. Curb appeal.
Yeah.
But, so it's a very good... I mean, I've got the Twitter page at SpinnerJet. Mm. What I do is my prices are on there, so people know exactly what they're going to be charged per square metre. Mm. So what they can do then is they can look at what they need to be cleaned. They can measure it up themselves, and they can email me and say, look, I've got this. Here's a picture of it. I looked at your prices. This is what you're going to charge me. Mm. Can you come around and do it? And we can book an appointment. There's no pressure in it. There's no like.
Sure.
When before I would see guys, they go around to they'll go around to people's houses, bang on the door. Would you like your drive done? Mm. Nobody wants people coming to your house. You don't want it. You know, you don't want that sort of thing. So I just thought maybe, I could do that better. You know, I could actually say to them, there's no stress. If you want it done, there's no. You know, this is what it is. If you want to pay that amount, it's that amount. You can measure up yourself and do it. Contact me. We'll make an arrangement. I'll come around and clean it. And, and I mean, from this week, off the back of this radio station, like, if you look at my prices, if anyone's listening that would be interested in it, I'm offering a 10% discount.
Oh.
So, sign him up.
Getting quick. So, you know, if that's what you'd be interested in, send me an email with pictures. And we go.
It's interesting what you were saying about people rocking up. I've got an in-and-out tarmac drive, and I had it completely re-tarmacked about 5 years ago.
Mm.
And it cost a lot of money to have it done because it's just a big drive. And I got a very local, reputable firm called Wilson's to do it. But they rocked up and put their sign outside and started preparing the site. Well, blimey, every 10 minutes I've got someone come down my drive, knock on the door and go, I could do that cheaper, mate.
You just don't want it, do you? Yeah, nobody wants it.
Most of them were road gangs anyway. You know, they were working on the roads and we just got some tarmac left over, mate. You know, so I can do you a deal on that. No, thank you. I've got Mr. Wilson doing mine.
You don't want nobody, especially if you're sort of, you know, if you're elderly or you're vulnerable. But
he's starting on me again. He's getting from you. Just because she said I'm old.
Oh, that's terrible. You know, but you just got to, you know, take the pressure off it. Don't pressure people into things.
Exactly. He keeps using the word pressure.
Have you noticed that? That word.
It's subliminal. It's subliminal marketing.
You will let me do
it. The other thing that I didn't realise when you were flexing your muscles on my front drive was that you can also do inside people's, especially hospitality restaurants that get a bit greasy. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, it's using the same method, the same SpinnerJet, the rotary system. But what you do in this case is you go into the house and you have an attachment, a very powerful suction hoover. So as the water spins around, you're cleaning tile and grout. You can go around swimming pools, kitchens of hotels, things like that. You're not using any chemicals. As you go along, you're pumping the water down. I mean, you're getting probably about 15 litres per minute. So that's a lot of water. Right. But at the same time, this high suction is sucking the water back out to a vessel outside the building.
Right.
So you can take the same pressure washer inside, have the same effect as you was cleaning outside, but you can do it inside. But just obviously not flooding everywhere, you're just sucking it out.
Yeah.
But the thing is when you know if you've got a hotel or something like that, you don't want to be putting chemicals down. You've got your visitors, your clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
People don't want to be smelling toxic fumes everywhere. You want to be, you know, and because we can clean so quickly as well, we can be in and out. there's no missing about it. It's just, you know, the machines are that good. So
is the short time that it takes you to do this brilliant job, is that purely down to the function that you've got a really high-powered machine
there? It is, yes. Yeah. It's just because I've invested in, you know, what I saw before was a lot of people, they turn up and they've got these little tiny things. And you say, well, you're never going to get a proper job with that, you know?
Well, so, I did exactly that. I got a Kircher. Jet washer.
Do you want mine as well?
No. And my youngest son, Stu, I said, I'll give you 50 quid to clean the moss
That's
off
exactly
my drive.
That's exactly what I did for sure.
I'll give you 50 quid to clean the moss off the drive. And after about 5 hours, he'd shifted about 2 square feet.
Yeah.
And I went, you lazy kid. And he went, I've been out here all day with this. He said, you know, I'd be quicker off with a broom.
This is what people think. But, you know, it's the time. Because what I generally find is I go to one house and I clean that drive or whatever. Mm. And you find the people next door want it. The people across the road didn't want it. They all got to try and keep it up with it. This is it.
That's good.
It's a quick, a simple thing. It's not complicated business, but it's very effective. And, you know, the plans for the future is to go into expanding. Is, you know, train people
into
that. And then what I feel is that way, you're getting people off the dole.
You
can give them something. It's not a complicated thing, but they
you
can be their own
get
master.
Rolf Harris with a round, get him out of, you know, a bit of community service, couldn't you, Paul Anders? He's just...
Ignore it.
He's just festering on Sheppey. Get him out, working, that's what I'm saying.
Being sensible, stupid woman, being sensible, you're absolutely right, Dan, and I love businesses like that. We had a young lad on a couple of months ago, a young 20-year-old lad that started a business, which was office cleaning. Really simple, straightforward kind of business. He's now employing 250 people.
Brilliant. Wow, that's brilliant.
And you just go, you know, it's that kind of thing that really works. You know, people can have really clever ideas about, you know, inventing digital this and that and the other, all very lovely. Apart from, a lot of them don't make any money for dozens of years anyway, but with a simple, effective, useful business like Spinnerjet, what's not to like? And I can really see what you're saying, that, you know, you do someone's drive and all the neighbours go, I want that. Because it's easy, isn't it? They can see what you've done. They know how long you were out there. Because they were watching you. And they go, blimey, I'm having some of that. So I think it's brilliant. And I know starting any business is always tough in the first year. It really is. Because you've got to not only do the business yourself, but you've got to do the sales and you've got to get it out there and you've got to do the marketing.
I've got my own flyers done. And what's hard about it as well is sometimes you get these companies that distribute the flyers for you. But then you find not everybody has a drive. Then not everybody's a homeowner. Sometimes you get tenants that are not interested. So I could, you know, saturate an area. You're not going to get. So I've been doing it myself.
And a lot of those companies don't really think it through either. They'll go up to a block of flats and put 10 in and go, do you want your drive cleaned?
Yes.
Really? I haven't got a drive.
So that's how it is. But so I've been doing my leaflets myself, and it's basically just been me building this from the ground up. Which I'm quite proud of, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, I feel, and so you should be.
It's a great sense in the morning when you've actually achieved something. You've gone out there, you've marketed the area, you've got the work, you send off you do the job, you send off your invoice, but you've done that. You know, so it does motivate you to keep going and doing more.
Absolutely,
so I quite like it.
Absolutely.
So the kind of businesses you're looking for private people with drives, patios, and decking, but also smaller boutique hotels, that type of thing.
That's correct. Yeah, if you've got something like that, you know, your business as well. If your business, the outside of it's looking dirty, it's not a good signal.
Absolutely.
Obviously,
pubs.
Pubs as well.
You
know, throwing a free meal.
You could do walls.
You can do walls. Yes, you can remove graffiti. Also, we do chewing gum. Chewing gum can be removed. So, you know, there's lots of areas. I mean, I'm just keeping it at that at the minute, but you can bolt on lots of different things that business. So you can grow it as big or as small as you choose. So I'm looking for smaller hotels, restaurants, things like that, just to sort of maintain them and come around every so often, 6 months to a year maybe, just to quickly give it a quick clean,
tip-top
shape, and in turn, I think, you know, they're going to look better, they're going to get business, the world goes round, you know?
I absolutely agree with you. If I turn up at a pub or a restaurant and it looks really scruffy outside, I immediately think, do you know what, and I'm not going to be too sure about this. But
I always check out the toilets as well, and there's a certain cafe I know, and the floor is so slippery with grease, it's revolting. Why would you want to eat there?
Dan, thank you so much for that. It's really good to hear from you. We wish you continued success. You're going to come and do my drive, and there's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Just give us your Twitter handle again so people can find out about you.
It's at Spinnerjet.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so all my pictures are there and everything else, so you can look at the before and afters, give yourself some idea of what standard we can bring up. Lots of different surfaces to see from, and my prices are there as well, so, yeah.
Fantastic. Dan, all power to you. Well done, mate, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Cheers. Dan Juby.
Dan the man. See,
lovely.
Told you he was good.
We're coming up to the halfway point of the show, but I've got a couple of things I want to cover first. A Lawyer Fair has launched a crowdfunding campaign on Crowdcube, and from as little as £10, you can buy a slice of the Lawyer Fair pie. Ooh. And help us disrupt an inefficient and expensive legal services market. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's absolutely about time. Me and lawyers aren't getting on at the moment, and it's about time that market was changed, because it is very archaic and it's opaque as well. Their fees bear no relationship to what's going on. It's just something, you know, 60 quid to send an email. Get out of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to support Lawyer Fair, you can go to their Crowdcube crowdfunding, which is crowdcube.com/companies/lawyerfair. They're trying to there's a whole bunch of stuff here, and I can't read it all out because it's too long. But they've been in operation. They have been going since 2014, and we've worked so far with more than 1,200 businesses, and those 1,200 businesses have saved more than 40% of their legal fees. And they use bona fide lawyers, but what they do is they get you a fixed fee. Yeah. So basically, you go to them, you go to their website, you put in what it is you want, and they will find you 2, 3, 4, 5 law firms that will give you a fixed quote to do the work. And then you know exactly what you're going to pay.
Yeah, you know where you send it, it just escalates, and then you feel stressed and awful. Yeah.
If you want to know more about it, you can contact the CEO, who's Andrew Weaver, and his email address is aw@lawyerfair.co.uk. So do check that out on Crowdcube, Lawyer Fair. It really is worthwhile. Cool. Have you got one more email, Jules, before the break?
Just arrived. Exciting work by 17-year-old Max White. He's the former Sevenoaks School art student and the next big thing in the art world. You can find him at Grierson Galleries. I'm going to spell Grierson. It's G-R-I-E-R, S for sugar, O-N, Galleries. You can also contact Graham Grant, and I'm going to give you his mobile, I think, which is 0777085-7254. If you want to see the amazing work by 17-year-old Max White, Sevenoaks School art student, next big thing in the art world, they say.
Cool. We're going to play some more cheesy tunage in homage to our next guest. Guess what this is?
Oh, come on! I've
Here comes
one.
The sun.
Huh?
Here give comes us a go. The sun.
No, almost.
Play us a hum us a bit.
See if you can get it.
Oh, Electric Avenue.
Eddie Grant, Electric Avenue.
My era.